back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, March 19th, 2025 on Connecticut Today. I offered up some new numbers from state scientists regarding interactions between bears and humans in Connecticut in 2024. Are we getting closer to a controlled bear hunt? Maybe in Litchfield County. Connecticut Energy Marketers Association head Chris Herb stopped by, explaining a growing push to amend the Connecticut state constitution for so-called environmental rights. And Hearst Connecticut Media senior editor and columnist Dan Harm on the current state of Medicaid in Connecticut and a possible ban of gasoline-powered leaf blowers in the state. Could that really happen?
All right, look, I know a lot of people are going to get mad at me. I know that you're going to call me up, especially they're going to take off after me on X or Twitter, whatever you still call it, on Facebook, because I was knocked around on social media last time I did this. I don't care, because I'm looking at this from common sense. We need to start killing bears, okay? I know, oh, look at the bear, it's in my backyard. We need to have a controlled bear hunt. And I'm not here saying I love to mow down animals for no reason. Okay, but we need, the scientists are telling us, those that work for the state, you know, the state that's run by the party that always says, ow, why don't you people just follow the science? Okay. There's a new report out. No, not from the NRA, not from a hunters group. The report wasn't sponsored by Cabela's Outdoor. No. The Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, state scientists, Connecticut. I'm reading it right here from the Inside Investigator site, insideinvestigator.org. It just came out a couple of days ago. And it illustrates a couple of things about the tendencies of bears and the stupidity of people. What would you like to start with? Let's start with the bears, shall we? Connecticut has far more bear conflicts than neighboring states. I'll read that again. Connecticut has far more bear conflicts than neighboring states. And again, folks, this is not my desire to mow down and kill bears. For the heck of it, this is a public safety thing. And for you people out there, oh, well, you can't kill a bear. How many chickens do we kill every day in this country and around the world? How many fish do we kill? How many birds do we kill? We allow hunting for that, for trophies and good eating. So we kill fish, we kill chickens, we kill birds, we kill a bunch of other things. But somehow everybody looks at every freaking bear as Yogi and Boo Boo. And it's creating a hazard that we are being warned about over and over and over again. And because some lawmakers in Hartford don't have a spine, this is only going to get worse and more dangerous. Conflicts between black bears and state residents far outpace neighboring states who have larger bear populations. That's according to a new report from the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, which noted a steadily increasing population and range of bears in Connecticut. Now, for you folks who may be intellectually challenged, that means there are more bears and they're venturing further. Why? Because they have no fear of us. Why? Because of the 10 states that have been examined by DEEB, only Connecticut does not allow bear hunting because we listen to emotion and it's putting our people at risk. Massachusetts, for example, the great Bay State to our north, they have cheaper weed prices too up there, from what I'm told. It's only from what I'm told. Massachusetts, for example, sees an average harvest of 245 bears a year, roughly 5% of the population, although most states saw much larger percentages connected to their bear hunting seasons. See, those other states are logical. They divorce themselves from emotion. And why does this continue to happen? Because people still put out bird feeders, and people still don't clean their grills, and people still don't use the proper trash cans that are bear-proof. Yes, they're expensive, but you can buy them. Over the last 5 years, there have been 16,000 bear conflicts with trash, bird feeders, and structure damage, accounting for the top three types of conflict. Katie Dykes, the DEEP commissioner, wrote, because Connecticut does not have a bear hunt, DEEP has invested heavily in public education and outreach focused on reducing bear-human conflicts. And this is what we hear from the anti-hunting crowd. Well, no, we just have to educate the people. Educate the people. Well, guess what? People are too stupid to be educated. Because Katie Dykes continues. This is a quote from the commissioner. Despite these efforts, conflicts continue to increase, demonstrating that non-lethal methods are not sufficient tactics to successfully reduce human bear conflicts. It is time for a bear hunt. I don't care how innocent they are. This is going to be a controlled hunt. Every other state does it except us. It's too bad if you think it's boo-boo or yogi or mommy or daddy. Every other state does this. This is becoming a physical hazard to the taxpayers of Connecticut. We have to stop listening to those who yell and scream the most, and we need to do what other states are doing. We wouldn't be an outlier here. We just wouldn't. Did you hear what the number said? Massachusetts has a fraction of the encounters we do, and they have more bears. Why? Because the scientists in Massachusetts, unlike the people here, or unlike the voters here, or the state reps here, understand how instinct works. And understand forensically how animals act. Because, folks, I'm telling you, and this is a long article, I'll get to more parts of it, people are worried now that people are going to get killed, there are going to be maulings here, and then what happens? Oh, we need to educate the public. When even the DEEP commissioner, Katie Dykes, says the people are not listening. And according to a new study, no, not from the NRA, not from Cabela's, not from Newsmax, not from Fox, from the State Department of Environmental Protection, Energy and Environmental Protection, Connecticut has by far the highest number of bear-human encounters in the area. They looked at 10 states, and Connecticut, with even less bears than some of those states, has a higher amount of encounters. Why? Because we're the only one of those states that doesn't hunt bears. And this warning comes out over and over and over every year from DEEP. They say there's a controlled hunt needed, like they do in Massachusetts and other states, to keep the bear population under control. They're not looking to wipe out the bears. What's the problem here? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Well, it's an animal. So was that chicken you had last night. So was that fish you had two nights ago. So was that duck or that goose meat you may have had. My God, can we get over it with the bears? I'm not for carpet bombing every bear out of existence in the state. But man, this stuff just frosts me up. It gets me nuts. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. It's not me saying this. I don't hunt. I've never shot a live round of ammunition, but what's the infatuation with not having a bear hunt, a controlled bear hunt? Look how many other millions of pieces of wildlife are hunted and killed. Nobody cares. That chicken sandwich you had today used to be an animal. You didn't care. Nori in Bridgeport starts us off. Nori, hi. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. Good. What's up?
Good. I just have a comment, and I don't mean to be smarmy or whatever, but if it's not political drama, now it's bear drama. I just have a comment to make. There are some people who chicken and fish are a problem because they're vegetarians.
Sure.
And we've invaded the bear. You know, the bear was there, and we've built homes and whatever. And so there are other ways than killing them.
Apparently they're not, Nori. Apparently they're not. I've spoke to experts on this. They're not. You cannot relocate them. They're territorial animals, and asking people to do things to lessen the encounters, it just, they're not listening, Nori, and there are too many bears in the state now. There are just too many.
Well, it's just, your chicken and fish comment just, you know, we don't eat bear on a daily basis. I mean,
no.
I don't know anybody eats bear, and I know hunters, when they hunt for chicken or fish or deer, when they make venison, whatever,
sure, yeah,
they eat them. But they're hunting to kill the bear, and what do they do with the carcass? They're not eating it, right?
Yeah, but
are
what
they
am
saving
I?
The teeth?
Yeah,
are they going to stuff it?
Maybe, I mean, but it happens. But Nori, all these other states are doing it from a public safety and an ecological point of view. That's the problem.
Well, I think there's something that I read where they can do something to the female or the male so they cannot have cubs. I mean, that might be cruel, but at least you're not killing the animal, so that maybe they can halt the population by, you know, sterilization. Sterilization is maybe an answer. I didn't hear that in any of your, I listened carefully.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything about sterilization. And I know you can have a vet on, veterinarian, or, you know, I think that would be better than just killing a beautiful animal like that. I know we eat, there are people that eat every part of the chicken. I know people that have chickens and farms, and they eat they eat the feet, they eat the head, they eat the beak. I mean, everything that they can, they would eat on the chicken. Duck. I know. I just had somebody come back from France. They had duck confit.
Okay.
So they. Okay. So, but I don't think you're like one sided. There's got to be sterilization for these bears to halt it. I mean, how many, do you know how many hundreds more that we have?
I've got the number right here. The estimate is that there are about 12 to 1,300 bears in the state, most of them concentrated in Litchfield County. And because they are not hunted like they are in other states, anthropologically, they're starting to venture more into backyards and even into people's homes and garages.
Yeah, well, I think people also, there's precautions people can take with their garbage.
Well, they're not, and Nori, they're not taking them. That's the issue. Even state officials this is not, people aren't listening.
Yeah, well, there's fox and coyotes, and, you know, I mean, we're going to start killing all, I don't believe in killing the bear.
Okay, I understand
it. I think sterilization, and I take offense that you're bringing up chicken and fish.
Well,
eat those animals.
Yeah, my producer, by the way, just said he had bear meat a short time ago. So listen, you can eat a bear, but I understand your point. It's not an everyday consumable. My only point, Nori, my only point is, every other state does this. We are surrounded by, and Nori, thank you for the call. I do appreciate the time. Thank you. I do have to run. I'm up against it. My only point is this here, folks. And thank you, Nori. I appreciate it. In a 10-state area that deep analyzed, the other states are able to keep their populations of bear under control. They're not wiping out the bears. Listen, the bears are going to die anyway. And I don't mean to be callous about that. Nothing gets out of here alive. There are hundreds, thousands, millions of creatures killed, and sometimes they're not killed for food. As Nori just said, it's called culling the herd. It's been done for thousands of years. Why are we so hypersensitive when it comes to bears? It ain't boo-boo. It ain't Smokey. It ain't Yogi. It's time for a controlled bear hunt, and the state scientists that get paid with your money and my tax money are saying it even more than they've ever said it. What's the problem? Explain to me what the problem is. Take your emotion out of it and look at it from a public safety and from the point of view of ecologically being nice to the bears who are here that have to eat. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. It's time to hunt bears. We're joined now by a gentleman we like to chat with every so often regarding energy policy in the state, and he represents a lot of folks who serve the
heating oil customers of the state and other aspects of that. It's the Connecticut Energy Marketers Association. Chris Herb is with us, watching what is done and not done and may be done at the state capitol. Hey, Chris, it's Paul here. How are you? Good afternoon.
Paul, good to hear your voice. Thank you for having me.
What is going on now with the capitol? I know there is some stuff that you folks have been keeping me and the other hosts and the state up to date on, and I'm reading some of this stuff, Chris, going, really? So what's the skinny there?
Yeah, well, actually, right now, as we speak, the Government Administrations and Elections Committee is debating a bill that we opposed that sounds good at first blush. It's supposed to give a constitutional right to all Connecticut citizens to clean air, clean water, and clean land. And you know, I live in Naugatuck with my two sons and my wife, and, you know, all that sounds really good. But the other states that have adopted these constitutional amendments, they end up translating into doing nothing to clean air, clean water, and clean land, but they allow attorneys to take action in court to sue the state, municipalities, potentially your neighbors and your consumers, just based on not being able to have those rights protected because you use natural gas to heat your home or diesel in your Ford truck. That's being debated right now, and unfortunately, from our account, the bill will come out of committee. Not good.
And Chris, I am reading that this tactic is now being used because other tactics to get stuff passed, because they weren't up to snuff or people were concerned enough about it, just didn't pass here. The governor was not happy about some stuff. So now, you know, Chris, listen, I agree with you. We all want a clean environment. But when you start enshrining things, Chris, that are kind of abstract ideas, really, into a state constitution, I can just see, with all due respect to our lawyer friends out there, I can see them licking their chops with the billable hours adding up here.
Oh, I can see the billboards popping up on 95 to contact them over your right to clean air. Yeah, exactly. And what really disturbs me is that this year, because, again, I almost sound like a monster to say that I opposed a bill that would give us a constitutional right to clean air. But when you see the experience that's played out in nearby New York and other states, really what it ends up doing is costing you money to defend yourself, because you heat with oil, or you heat with natural gas or propane, you drive a gasoline-powered car instead of an EV. And I think you're exactly right. This type of legislation comes out of frustration that they didn't pass the mandate to only sell electric vehicles. You know, defeating that last year, they're trying to find other pathways, and to do it through the courts is wrong. The people should decide the policies that are enacted through the legislature, and the legislature didn't pass that for a good reason, because the people didn't want it. So don't now put this in the hands of lawyers and judges.
Chris Herb, the head of the Connecticut Energy Marketers Association, joins us. I mean, Chris, come on. This is Connecticut here. We're not in, you know, you don't hold up a picture of Connecticut and see some of these European cities or places in India or China that have smog and air so bad you can cut it with a knife. I think we're doing, Chris, mainly by market-driven initiatives and what people feel in their guts, I think we're doing pretty well with the environment, I think.
You know what? Actually, a report just came out and said that Connecticut is the fourth best state in the country when it comes to energy conservation, which obviously, when you conserve the fuel that you use, you lower emissions. So I would actually say we're doing very well. This is not necessary, and it will end up becoming very costly. And we also heard testimony, this didn't come from us, but people that are a little bit more aware in the housing industry, that neighbors have used this to prevent developments from being built because it's going to add so many cars and so many oil heat systems and propane systems that they believe that that violates their right to clean air because the particulate emissions that would be caused by building those houses. Well, if anyone shopped for a house now, you know what they cost. This type of legislation will only escalate the prices for housing.
Yeah, and Chris, finally, I know that there's been worry, too, that technically under some regulations and some bills and this and other stuff being considered here, that you might have a possible scenario of, hey, what's your oh my God, my neighbor's using this sort of fuel here, or, you know, I'm going to report him or her. Sounds nuts, but that's kind of a real fear in this, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. I think you nailed it on the head. You know, there's a lot of things to be fearful, and that is clearly one of them.
Interesting, interesting. So here's the question now.
this is going to pass out of committee. You know how things work. Everything that comes out of committee doesn't really end up having a floor vote. Usually, if the votes aren't there, they won't vote. What are you hearing from rank and file, if anything, members of the House and Senate on this?
Sure. I do believe that this will struggle to get through the process, first of all, because we're going to oppose it, and our customers, we're asking our customers to reach out to legislators to oppose it. So just like previous fights, we're fully engaged. You can't let your guard down with anything in Hartford. So I think it has an uphill battle to climb from the standpoint that this takes a little bit more. It takes 3/4 votes of the legislature to approve it, and then it has to go to referendum. So it has to clear a couple hurdles after it gets out of committee.
Sure. And finally, Chris, what do you say to people who hear you on this station and others say, oh, there's that guy. He represents the oil dealers and the home energy dealers. Of course he's going to be against this. What's your response to that?
Well, you and I have had this discussion before. We have made a transition to biodiesel and bioheat, which are renewable heating fuels. Our industry is sincere about trying to make sure that we provide the best fuel at the lowest price that's the cleanest and most environmentally friendly. We're delivering on that promise. So this is not about protecting oil companies. This is about protecting higher costs for energy based on lawsuits and out-of-control policies that will just make it unaffordable to live here.
The group is the Connecticut Energy Marketers Association, our friend Chris Herb. Hey, Chris, thanks, and keep us up to date on this, okay?
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Herb there. All right, here's a guy I should give an associate producer credit for yesterday's show, Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media. Dan, I got like 2.5-3 hours worth of calls yesterday from your leaf blower story, so I will make you an honorary executive producer. Thank you for the leaf blower story. Is this really going to happen?
I demand equal time. I've seen most of your calls derided. But actually, no, I shouldn't say that, because one of the things I mentioned in the column for the listeners here is that I was surprised that the pro-ban people, the anti-leaf blower pro-ban people, in the written testimony of about 250 testimonies, outnumbered the defenders of these things 10 to 1.
Yeah.
So maybe your listeners weren't all pro leaf blower. You tell me.
Well, the comment that I got, Dan, from the listeners is it's a nice idea for some people, but they say, and you probably heard this covering it, the power, the technology, it's getting there. It's not quite there yet. That's what I heard from people.
Ban the other guy's leaf blower. That's what you want.
Well,
I'm in favor of a ban, just not on mine.
Yeah, and obviously there will likely be people grandfathered into this, right? Didn't you point that out in the piece?
There are lots of possibilities. Let me be clear about this proposed law. The proposed law, it was drafted by mistake. The intent of the Environment and Technology Committee was to draft a law that said ban on gas leaf blowers on state property by 2029, within 5 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ban at the end of 29.
Yeah.
So a ban on state use of these things, not municipal, not private, not corporate, state use.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And instead, somebody, the pen slipped. And somebody accidentally proposed a law and put it through that says an outright ban on the sale and use of gas-powered leaf blowers, either handheld or backpacks, by 2029.
Yeah.
And so that's the bill that was heard, but that's not the bill that's going to pass. Even a statewide ban in 5 years, I would say we have at best a 40% chance of seeing that pass.
All right.
Because not a lot of states have done this.
Now, are we sure that was an accident, Dan? We made a little mistake here. We didn't want it locally. Are we sure that was an accident?
Well, the state senator who claimed responsibility for the accident, Senator Lopes from New Britain, Rick Lopes, said he fully admits he would like to see a ban, an outright ban. And so what he said was that somebody one of the constituents who was helping him, you know, with the thinking. It, the language just landed in the wrong place. In any case, yes, you're correct. And as I said in my column, clearly there are people who want to see an outright ban. But let me assure you that even Senator Lopes, who would like to see a ban, as well as others who would like to see a ban, do not realistically see a chance of arguing for it, let alone seeing it pass this year. That's not really on the table. It is on the table, but it's not on the table. As we say, it's on the table, but it's not on the table. Let's talk about a ban, an eventual phasing out.
Okay.
One of the main points that I make in the column is that everybody is talking about electric versus gas and, are the electric blowers good enough, and is the technology both affordable and practical and all that stuff? No. I'm saying that's looking at it the wrong way.
Okay.
The answer isn't electric versus gas.
Yeah.
It's that we have too damn much blowing of of our lawns to begin with. When we were kids,
I agree.
You raked the lawn in the fall.
Yes.
And the rest of the year, in the spring, if you really cared about your lawn, you did what was called thatching. You remember that?
Yes. Oh, the thatcher, the roller with the, it was supposed to picks up the soil a little bit.
We did. And then you would rake over and pull out all the dead stuff. And that was great for the lawn. So the point is that this idea that you have to blow, and also my neighbors here in West Hartford, and I'm sure in many other, not I'm sure, I know, in many other towns, every time the lawn gets mowed all summer, from basically May through October, every single time the lawn gets mowed, they're blowing.
I know. Right?
Now, what? Now, why? What are you blowing? You're blowing a few grass clippings that, by the way, are good for the yard? I don't get it.
Yes, I know. I don't get it. Hey, the other elephant in the room here, Dan, explain in the couple of minutes we have left, what's going on with Medicaid here? Explain that to my listeners.
Well, there's no explicit threat of a Medicaid cut as a result of the state, of the federal budget, right? And so Republicans are able to say, Medicaid cut? What Medicaid cut? But the Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, is saying that you cannot cut $880 billion out of the federal budget without in some way touching entitlements.
Mm-hmm.
And so since Social Security and Medicare are – look, all three programs are third rail.
Yeah.
But Social Security and Medicare are religion.
Yeah.
Right? And even the craziest Republican isn't going to cut Social Security. Right. At least not for the foreseeable future recipients. And so, you know, there are lots of debates about means testing and all that stuff. I'm not saying it should be off the table. I'm saying that that's an extreme. But Medicaid is a program that has been under pressure for some time. And listen, it's a state and federal program. Mm-hmm. Some states have richer. Connecticut has, as you obviously know, a rich Medicaid program. Not the richest, but pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it's fallen behind because the reimbursement rates are not sufficient enough for patients to get doctors. And so the Democrats believe that there's no way for the Trump tax cuts to go into effect without cuts to Medicare. Mm-hmm. Medicaid, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Hairy stuff. Dan Harhurst, Connecticut Media, senior editor and columnist. Dan, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll chat next week, sir. Thank you.
Send the check. I'll give you the address. The check.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. So there you go.